Blog Talk Radio.
That's a frightening concept, George, really, because Well,
you know,
yeah.
You know, I believe so many things, and I want so many things to be real, but, you know, as they are, they aren't real. And, you know, they manifest.
And what do you mean they aren't real, Leo? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I love the world to be to be happy, and the world to be non-war, and everyone to be thrilled with their existence. But, you know, that doesn't happen. And
the reason why, Leo, is because they've never thought of being without, because everybody's believing that, you know, with war, you know, comes peace. And it's the way that we've been taught to believe and so forth. But, you know, what you got to do is you got to take a look at it for what it is. And, you know, all you got to do is stop believing that you need war for peace. And eventually, you know, you won't have war. And we're at that stage now that, you know, we have to look at it for what it is. We take so much for granted that, you know, this is the way our civilization works. But, you know, it works in other ways also. All you have to do is believe it, but we have to implement it. And once, you know, we're at a state right now with a 100 monkey scenario. If enough people believe in it, it will manifest itself. And, you know, that is part of the, you know, the religious dogma that, you know, they've talked about. If you believe hard enough, you know, prayers can move mountains. And I do believe, and they do. And you just got to believe it. And, you know, once you believe it, then it will happen.
Is true. All right? There's so many hundreds of monkeys out there, you know, and they believe so many things. And
that's okay. That's okay, Leo. We're all different, and there's nothing wrong with adding character to our, you know, our journey through this experience that we're experiencing. What can I tell you?
Yeah,
whatever, you know, and whatever life form that, you know, you're attached to.
I don't know what life form that is, George, but we're definitely here.
A human.
Human
as
life
As far
form.
As I know.
Yeah, I guess.
Hi, George, how are you?
I'd like to keep it on that level, but understand that there are multi living things on this planet and involved in its own evolution. And that's the beauty of this place, because it's a paradise. You know, I've mentioned before that my heaven is not something at the end of my life, but my heaven is where I live, in the Garden of Eden. That's Earth. You know, I look around me, and, you know, this is it's amazing, you know, what we have here, but it's how we look at it. And, you know, we get bogged down with so many beliefs about the negativity we have to overcome in order for us to feel its fruits, that, you know, we actually put it aside because it's too much. Hi, Lila.
Hi, George. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, dear. I'm enjoying our conversation. And, you know, I think this all goes and falls in line with the times that we're in right now, these 2012, and what is happening.
These are strange times, that's for sure, aren't they?
They're fun times.
What do you see in the next few months? You know, there are prophecies that are coming about, and I don't know. People are freaking out everywhere, and
I don't think they're freaking out any more than they always did. It's just that they tell you more about those that are freaking out. That's what the media does. The media has a very negative attitude towards everything. There's a lot.
They do. But that's their business, you see.
Yeah, they want you to think that everybody's freaking out. They want you to think the negativity. They want you to believe all these things. They give you every fire that ever. For instance, in our Connecticut news, we hear every fire that's happened every day throughout the state, every murder, every mugging, they never give you anything good. And so people, when they leave their homes in the morning, they take that negativity with them. And
that's
what the media is about. It's about narrowing your ideas of what you are and what you can do, of limiting humanity, because that suits them and they get control of it.
Well, they have control of part of your time, you know, but not completely. And you know, we get complacent after a while. And you know, I do this just as much as a lot of people do. And I'm at a point now where I'm catching myself, and I'm catching myself because it's, you know, how much time do I need to spend with this garbage? Or you know, it's like routines that you fall into, that I fall into, that I find now that I'm catching these routines and seeing these routines before they even get going, not as they're going on, which I have in the past. And it's like happening so damn quick and fast. And, you know, I'm changing. And I don't know what it's going to be 3 months from now. I really don't, or how I would react to it.
I was getting around to your earlier point of why people believe that war generates peace, because that's what you hear through the media, and that's what they peddle. And we know that's not true. It just generates misery. That's what it generates. And they, of course, don't tell you that part of it.
No, they don't. They don't.
No,
it's the backside of that that hurts.
They don't show the bodies coming home. They don't show the disabled veterans. They don't show the number of homeless vets living on the streets in this country. And there's so many that are homeless. They don't show the mental illness that they're suffering. And they don't show the dead women and children and innocent families in the countries that we've destroyed. They don't show that.
Yeah.
That, so because then people would realize that the only thing war does is generate misery. It's the misery business is what it is.
True.
If you want to gain friends in the world, why don't you share that? We should share the food that we have. You know, we would have made many more friends in Afghanistan if we dropped food rather than bombs. Those people were hungry.
I agree, Lola. But, you know, I can say that there was a time in our history where we needed those armies for protection. And, you know, let's go back 10,000 years from now.
This country never really needed armies for protection, George. What we did, right in the beginning when we settled this country, is that we destroyed the people that were here, sent them to what we would call concentration camps now. That's the indigenous people, the Indians. And we've exported that way of doing business to the rest of the successful world. That's what's happening in Israel right now. They treat the Palestinians the same way we treat, and we continue to treat, the indigenous people of this country. That's the American Indian. And they're still treated badly by us. You know,
I agree exactly with what you're saying. But I want to take this back even further than that, Lila.
Okay.
Where in order for us to survive, we need it for protection, even from our families. Our family was our army. We had our army of warriors that protected the women and the children. At one time, it was needed to protect us from the elements and the other wild creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as we civilized or became more civilized, we didn't need that as much as we did originally. So, you know, we're at a point where, you know, we have learned how to communicate without hurting one another. And the problem is that we just won't let go of that old belief that we need it for our security. So I'm saying that, you know, it's wrong, but yet, you know, it's just part of those complacent beliefs that we've had. And what we have to do is to now take a look at what we believe and redefine it. Is it something that we do believe is that we need this? And, you know, it's always like attached sometimes to another belief that you have. The belief that you would fight for somebody is, let's say, because you live in the United States of America and we're proud of our Constitution. So I'm saying, you know, it's like one belief into another belief, but you can start breaking that down by, you know, what the government is doing for you or what it's not doing for you. And, you know, it's only a belief. So I'm saying it's looking at those beliefs that we have and seeing if you have time for them, or even if you believe that yourself. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean you have to believe it, and that's where we find ourselves into, you know, fads and so forth. We're locked into what, you know, that's what they're doing these days. You know, we lose ourselves, and, you know, it's not for what we want. It's for other reasons. Am I making any sense?
Well, toward the end there, I really lost you. Well, what I understand that you're saying is that it's these beliefs that are founded on something that really isn't true anymore. And
right.
people continue on with that because, well, basically because they can't think for themselves. That's too hard.
Well, that's one reason, yes. And another reason is because they wrote a lot of this stuff right out of the history books. They don't write about the real stuff anymore. It's all fabricated.
Yeah, it's revisionist history. That you're absolutely
yeah,
right. They don't tell the truth about anything. And they also don't tell the truth about what's happening in the present.
Without a doubt. But that's exposed. Now it's exposed more so than it has, Lila, for the last 50 years. Wouldn't you agree? You're seeing it for what it is. I mean, it's all exposing itself.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, George. But the frustrating part of understanding that it's being exposed is the fact that the people that want, there is a whole group of people that want to keep it just the way it is because they're living the sweet life because of it. And they're many, many years ahead of the rest of us who feel differently.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
they've kind of got it all sewn up. It's very difficult to change that thought. Until the many change their thought, the few that control will continue to control.
Yes.
Well, they have control of the media, and except for the Internet. And if the Internet can stay free, we're going to be okay. My fear is that they'll successfully clamp down on the Internet.
Can't get away from that. It's going to happen. And it has happened.
Well,
yeah.
George, you know, I have to admit, and that was a little weird, maybe, but I personally fall in love, all right, with people who express themselves, all right, and so many people express themselves on the Internet, but they really do. And you know, it's the only vehicle that we have. Like you have Facebook, Twitter, and everything else, and email, and everything else.
Hardly anybody has access to Channel 3, 4, 8, and the AM and FM stations. So what the rest of us have is the Internet,
They're
trying to take that away from us.
And they're trying to stop
desperately
that,
trying to censor it.
But I think that will be successfully defeated because, I mean, I was shocked that Google and so many other major, Amazon and others, have so vehemently protested the censorship. Okay, they want that to be out there. They want everything to be out there. And I was really very surprised at their response.
Because they'll lose millions of customers.
Not only will they lose customers, but
millions.
But, you know, the concept of the Internet is to be free and to have that freedom of speech, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And
it's the international town square.
It is the international town. Oh, you're so right, Lena. It's the international town square. And everybody can do so. I mean, there are limitations to what they will allow on Facebook or the Internet, and some of it is, you know, rightfully so, no different than the FCC, where, you know, they'll, you know, they ban certain things that are you know, very bad. But overall, you know, overall, the internet has been a wonderful place to be.
Wouldn't you agree, George?
What do you think?
With what? I mean, no.
Overall, I mean, I send you so much information, George.
And you get a lot from George.
I get so much information from all over the place. You know, so many great, great articles and great.
Don't you think that's wonderful to be able to do that and to send whatever you want?
Without a doubt, it really is. It's
like this.
You know, it's an altogether different world than it was, let's say, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, going back 20 years, it's not like a different world.
No,
and,
when I think,
you know, I remember years ago in business and also with studies, too, that I had about 7 or 8 filing cabinets that I had all my files and my folders and all my papers on. But, you know, nowadays that's obsolete, you know.
You
even
put it on a little
paper record.
You could put all that stuff right on a little memory stick.
Yeah, and
it's pathetic. It really is.
But you know,
I still have probably at least 8,000 books in my library, and
yeah.
You know, I need my books, and I need to see the words, and you know, it's just my nature, and
that's the way you were brought up. I mean, that's what you experienced, and that's imprinted on you. But young people don't think that way. They have it all over the internet.
But there's much more involved in nostalgia in this, is because there, you know, George, what you have the 8,000 books. I've got, I don't know, maybe 1,000. But you know, all of this is so it's real. It's not digital, you know.
So what?
It can't be deleted overnight, you know. If the world ended tomorrow and another civilization started.
People felt that way about the telephone, for Christ's sake, Leo, when that was invented. You know, should we talk on the telephone? It's not as good as talking face-to-face. People are wedded to their ways.
No, but but the fact that stuff is in print and you can read it and that you can see it.
So what? You can see it when it's digital. You get a Kindle or you get whatever and you read it.
But if your battery goes,
I can bring back this conversation.
Well, that's because you're linked to that old way. That's all. And in 20 years, people won't even feel like that. I know we have people at school. I think we should let kids use cell phones and iPods and all that right in the classroom and stop fighting the technology. You should send kids questions on their cell phones, and they'll all be rushing to answer them because that's what they use. We have to move forward with technology. You can't just look backwards.
I don't agree with you on that.
I agree with you, but, you know, let's bump this up. I wanted to complete what I was saying. I had the filing cabinets, but now, besides these memory sticks, understand with quantum consciousness, understand a fractal part of us, that information of what we've experienced and what we will experience is all within our genetic makeup. So all we have to do is tap in and read it like you would a book.
But we
don't lose that information. Even the thought forms would attach itself, let's say, to our soul. So, you know, in reading the soul, you would see that attachment or that understanding or that thought or that reference to that. So, you know, it's like you become part of it, it becomes part of you. That doesn't mean it's activated completely, but that's part of the nature. You know, we activate, you know, the reality that we draw to ourselves because we are the reality that we're generating.
That's true, George. That's very true. But
that was a mouthful there, you know. But you know, it's,
the fact that we live in a third dimensional reality, you know.
Yes, but we've also made reference
aspect to things that are
crystals.
that must be maintained, and you know, the printing of books, the printing of knowledge. Okay, I believe is still a valid method, okay, of distributing knowledge and maintaining knowledge.
It's one way, but it's too expensive, Leo, and that's why we're moving forward with other technology. It's too
expensive. But all
you
need is one clever hacker.
Yeah,
Leo. One thing.
People could listen into your phone calls, too. Does that stop you from making
calls? But if you suddenly delete the entire grid, have no knowledge, Lila.
Yeah, Leo. You know, I think it's ridiculous because that's the way people always feel about any kind of invention, any kind of forward thinking. They always discourage it. Yes, it's important to have backups.
I don't discourage the advent of Kindles or whatever digital knowledge. However, I do discourage the fact that they're not a backup, you know. Even in the most clever, all of your computer systems have backups.
That's what I said.
Right,
yeah,
and the backups are there for that purpose.
Yeah, you have backups, Leo.
All right, so you have backups.
But let's face it,
printable
backups. If you want to sell a book, you got to and get it to the masses. You have to sell it in the most economical way, which is with the new technology. A book costs $5 if you do it digitally. Who's going to pay $60 for a book? Nobody has that money. Nobody has that money because that's time consuming, and time is money.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
I mean, you can get if you do a textbook over the computer or on a Kindle, on a laptop, you can update them every year instead of being locked into a textbook that's 10 years old. And that's what happens.
Or even
you know, and you
the
have
the problem now exists that who's going to read textbooks anymore? Who wants a book?
But you know the saddest part about it all, and I don't know. I think you might have seen my recent updates on Facebook. You know that they're censoring books. They're censoring textbooks in many areas. And these things are quite frightening. And again, I have to go back for a minute to the recent SOPA bills where they're trying to censor the internet. And you know, so there's so much information out there now that you know for Google or and I was really pleased. I was surprised, but I was pleased at the same time to see that Google was against the censorship of, you know, information, as well as Amazon, you know, as well as Yahoo, and as well as so many other major internet avenues were against the censorship of information, and that made me very happy to see that in the recent last week actually when they closed down some of their sites. We have to have this kind of information, George. We have to have this freedom of information, and if we don't,
Leo, you know we can. We can get that information will come, but you know, I just like to suggest bypass it. Why do you want to bother with it? No need to.
Well, George, I got a question for you. We're now in 2012, okay? The recent spokesman for the prophecies of the Mayan calendar, you know, stated that something was coming up in February and March, all right, another wave, okay, and of course we're headed toward, of course the progression will head us toward December 2021. What do you see, or what have you seen, or what have you read, or what have you researched to show us that we're coming close to the end times?
Well, end times in a sense of end of times the way that we understand them. And, you know, I got to go back. And if you can give me a little bit to explain myself.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I could put a perspective on this. And I think I've hit upon this in how we believe. How we believe using our heart. The heart has, it's a 7-chamber liquid oscillating crystal. I'd mentioned that.
Yep.
But yet it has 2 chambers on it. And 2 chambers that connect to the brain. The upper portion of the heart, it connects with the hypothalamus. And what happens, or excuse me, not the hypothalamus, the right hemisphere of the brain. Now, with that information, it's in a linear perspective. And the lower chamber of the heart connects an energy flow to the hypothalamus. And in that is the chamber where the pineal gland is focused on. And imagine, imagine in the center of your head, between your two cerebral cortexes, a small little chamber, an amphitheater, and with the pineal gland itself is actually, which is your imagination, is thrown against a screen that's in the shape of something like a pineapple, but it's build up and so forth is that shape, and I don't want to get into that now. But actually, it's an indoor theater like a planetarium. And the pineal gland itself is the optical eye that receives the energies, energies from the sun or energies from the top of our being. But it also takes the energies from our heart and actually produces the image. Now, you've seen with different religions that they have a dot between their eyes.
Yep.
It's a place where the pineal gland is focused, or they focus on. The idea is that the pineal gland is faced up, and it's actually an eyeball, but it's very small. And the activating of the pineal gland is actually bringing you down 90 degrees, or 45 degrees, or 90 degrees, excuse me, where it's not facing up, but it's facing out between the eyes. And what it is activating those upper chakras. But my point is, in thought or in movements, we have an energy energy flow from the heart to the brain, which actually is goes automatically to the right brain, where it's processed with the biofield of the left brain, right brain. Now, the other energies in the pineal gland is actually, it has no polarity connected with it and actually produces that image or that want or that feeling. Understand that any thoughts that we do have that enters, the logical left brain thinking, has this duality that must come back and be experienced. So, I talked years ago about, one understanding and placing spells on people, and some of the early belief systems, they would direct energies, and they always used the third item, a third thing, because the energies will come back. Whatever is projected, you have portions of that energy is going to come back on you. And instead of going
I agree with you on that, George, because I've experienced that myself many years ago. But that is very true. There is a reflective immediate reflective aspect to spells. All right. And it creates a negative effect over.
Did you experience that too, George?
Oh, yes, yes. But, it's just part of alchemy. It's part of basic, not witchcraft, but Wicca, more of an ancient druid understanding, and with basic animal magnetism, and you know it's all magnetics.
It's just understanding,
energy will come back, which will return itself. So it's the same thing with thoughts too. So that's why a third thing was used. So if any bad spells come back, that they wouldn't affect the actually spellbinder, but the let's say whatever is directed at the third thing, and that's why a lot of times animals were used, you know, like pigs or rats or dogs or cats, but you know they were effective. I didn't want to get carried away with that, other than you know it's just.
But I understand where you're coming from, because many years ago I was involved with the coven, and I saw this effect, and I understood this effect. So I realize what you were saying.
But you're doing is you're bypassing that whole polarity thing that we've learned to live with, and that's part of been our nature the last 10,000 years. We don't have to do that because we can deal directly with the heart, which receives the information from the outside. And we talked about the heart is the vessel that is connected to the outside world, not the brain. It's secondary. So
let me ask you this, George. How does all these heart surgeries affect that?
Heart surgeries?
Yeah, and people that have all kinds of different heart surgeries and heart replacements and all that kind of thing. How does that affect them and their relation to the outside world?
Well,
not really spells.
No, we're talking about people.
That's surgery.
He's talking about how the heart is a crystal and how you missed you.
No, well, I understand what you're saying, but that doesn't.
Well, and
it's a crystal pump, yes. Mm-hmm.
And some people have a pump, like, what's his name?
That's a completely physical concept.
But that's the heart.
Yeah.
I mean, Dick Cheney has a mechanical heart, basically.
But he has no soul.
I mean, I always thought he had no soul, but I just was kind of wondering about that.
I don't know how to answer that, Lila, but I would say that you have a mechanical device that is going to duplicate the frequencies that heart or that body harmoniously beats to, and
right.
You know, keep up that. It's like recording the beep or recording a rhythm that heart needs in order that body needs in order for it to circulate the blood. I don't know, but I know there is a lot of problems, with having a different heart that people actually feel or understand the person whose heart it came from by, you know, just tapping into its DNA or experiencing part of the life force that kept that person alive. It stays with the material essence, you know. It doesn't surprise me.
Right, that they have that experience or have some of the feelings of that person, I guess.
Yeah.
That must
but,
be.
You know, I'm talking about as beings, as physical beings, or being mammals. I mean, we're restricted by life here on this earth, and, you know, by our physical nature, too. So, you know, it's we are probably the only beings on this earth that we can change our DNA and change our ways by our belief systems. And it's something we can imagine and we can change and we can do, and we have. And, you know, it's I understand that our thinking has changed, let's say, from 1950. The understanding of going in space, going on the moon. I mean, you know, we have changed, going back to the 1900s,
mm-hmm.
we have changed way beyond our ability to comprehend. And yet now we are doing that not in a year's time, but in months' time. Things are happening at rates that are astronomical.
That's true.
The understanding of co-creation, if, you know, that's what's happening, if the energies are making that a self-experienced outside of ourselves, what is it doing to us? Who's to say that we can imagine that we all have won the lottery? Or who has the blood? It doesn't need any money because we have everything we need. I think it's coming to that, but we have to believe it. You know, I got to go back again. You know, believing is seeing. If you believe it, you see it. My motto is be, do, have. I be myself, whoever I am. I do what I have to do. And in doing that, I have. So I have everything I need. And it's like not a vicious cycle, but it's a spiraling cycle that gets faster and faster and faster every day. And that's what I enjoy at this point. And, I have to say that I'm in constant prayer to the God creator up there, whoever it is, because I'm astonished every turn of the road because something else catches my attention. I mean, it maybe hasn't caught my attention the last 60 years, but it did this time. And it's really nice to, I'm so grateful that we are living in such an environment that, you know, we can appreciate these things. I can appreciate these things, but we can also. And if we don't like it, we could change it. And I don't care if it's actually putting yellow roses instead of pink roses outside your garden fence. We can do that. And we can do it at
I like to embrace change myself.
But the influx of information that we're receiving now is so intense that we, especially in my case, that, you know, it overwhelms you. All right, but you know,
existence and everything else is all attitude, Leo. You know, it's like they said a long time ago. Some people see that cup half full, and some people see it half empty, and it's the same amount. But why do some people get joy and why do other people just get misery? It's because
they don't look at the fact there's a glass of water in front of them. Hey, that's cool.
That's
who cares
right.
if it's half full or half empty? It's the glass.
That's
the point. That is something that there is no good or bad about it. It's there, period. That's something.
But it's your attitude in life that makes all the difference.
Well, you could say that. Sometimes my attitude stinks, and that's especially if you wake me up 3 o'clock in the morning. But we all change. But we're human. You know, that's our nature. But that's okay. We can change in a matter of minutes and seconds.
Well, hopefully, some people
forgive.
Are constantly sour, and you know, too bad for them.
But I honestly believe, and maybe this is false, but the attitude that you pervasively have, all right, is what creates your reality.
Well,
this is where we're at now, as we're into February of 2012, I don't know. I mean, I wake up each day wondering if that 2012 prediction is real. You know,
they didn't say it was exact, Leo. I mean, you know.
Well, regardless of the exact, all right, it doesn't say whether it would be December 21st or whatever, but of 2012. But right now, as we creep into this year, all right, of the final year, psychics have shown that they can't see beyond 2012.
Who couldn't see
predictions
beyond?
Can say that they even Nostradamus couldn't see beyond 2012.
Is that what he said?
Yes, and others. verging onto a war with Iran, all right? And that is absolute absurdity, but we could very well see the World War III that's predicted. We could see the end of all things, okay? And you know, the saddest thing, the most frightening thing, is it could happen tomorrow. It could happen the next day. We don't know when it could happen. This is no different than a hurricane or a tornado. Could hit you.
You don't have any control. You don't have any control over bigger things, but you
That's
do.
True.
But you do have control over your own attitude and what you say and do.
But the
instead
world
of being
psychics,
so hopeless.
But the psychics in the world have never predicted beyond 2012,
I'd like to read that somewhere.
Well, I'll show it to you, dear. But nevertheless,
is that true, George?
well, I try to look and see how's things going to be in like 3 months from now. And astrologically, you know, I used to follow astrology, and
yeah.
It's not predict, but you know, you can put two and two together sometimes
over
the energy.
I
can't do that now because you know, I can't predict what things are going to be a week from now because things change so fast. So I'm committed to sit back in my rocking chair and just watch the world as it turns. And, you know, not making any judgment, but just get a ground seat and watch the fireworks and watch the amusement. You know, I'm not happy with it. And sometimes I'm not talking about going and reading and seeing the news on TV because, you know, nothing is real and it's all one big illusion. But I have to go by the waves that are affecting me, and that's within my community, with my home, and the world around me.
Guys, do you remember when you sent me the information on Terrence McKenna? Okay.
Yes.
And Terrence McKenna said at the year of 2012, everything just stopped. Okay,
yeah.
Predictions. All right, when he saw...
a year from now, we'll know.
Well, this is what I'm trying to say, Lila, is that year, moment to moment, day to day, we don't know. All right, yeah, look at these poor people in Alabama recently who just, you know, their lives are completely devastated by a sudden arrival of a tornado. It devastated 300 or 400.
That's terrible, terrible, terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know, and it's like, you know,
well,
but when all of the, when all of these psychics in the world, the great psychics, predicted that 2012 would be the end, they couldn't see beyond that period of time. Then you have this
problem there because a lot of people are holding on to that. And they don't know why, but they're doing it because that's what they said. And,
well,
you know, a lot of that is a bunch of hogwash. Three-quarters of it is hogwash.
Yeah.
Well, you know, George, I have to say something quite honestly. All right? To hold on to 6 or 8 weeks of food supplements, you know, food supplies, stock up on this and stock up on that and do these kind of things makes a whole lot of hell of a sense.
Yeah, right.
Right? And, you know, we try to do that. In our own.
That's like people thought in the year 2000 that all computers were going to break down. You know, that was...
It may be true, but you never had Edgar Casey or Nostradamus or anybody talking about 2000. You did have many of them talking about 2012, all right?
Well, I remember them talking back in 1990 about food stockpiling and, you know, certain places that you could go and buy certain food staples, and you know that's.
What do we talk about, George? 2012.
Okay.
I mean, should we just decide it's illusion, it's a delusion, you know, it's false, or should we consider it to be?
Well, we have about 3 minutes left. And I doubt very much whether we're going to solve this eternal question in 3 minutes. But I think it's something to think about over the next couple of weeks. And I think we should return to the subject because I think it's a fascinating one. And maybe we can look up some of the things that psychics have said about the year 2012 and what their thoughts about that, what happens afterwards, and we can share those with our listeners. I think it'd be fascinating subject for a further conversation because after we're going to know in a year. Anyway, so we don't have to wait too long to find out whether they told us the truth or not, do we?
It doesn't matter if they told the truth or not because I know they didn't. So I'm not putting out any hope or anything that's not going to come. I'm just going to continue on as if it didn't happen.
Well, for me, as far as I'm concerned, I'm waiting for spring, and I know it's coming. And I'm looking forward to the plants and flowers and to the birds all returning and a lot of sunshine. To me, that's something that's really worth looking forward to.
That's good.
I heard that the groundhog saw a shadow. Is that true?
Well, he did in some places. In other places, he didn't.
But 6 weeks. 6 weeks doesn't last very long. And he says another 6 weeks of winter.
Before you know, it'll be spring. I mean, March isn't that far away.
Puxatawny Sam or something.
Yeah, and then there's Chuckles in Connecticut.
Chuckles.
Well, I now have a groundhog stew recipe. So.
Oh, George.
I got a woodchuck that lives under my back field shed, and I call him Billy the Kidder, and I know he's out there. I've blocked up his hole underneath it, but he just makes another one. But he's welcome to my paradise here, and I wouldn't hurt him. And like I said, I thought it was cute, but somebody sent me the recipe for a woodchuck.
We have 40 seconds left, George, to the live stream, so I just want to let people know.
We're going to sign off
in. Yeah, you can call in at 646-915-9505 and be with us for the last few minutes of the show. But, we want to thank everybody who listened tonight.
And we want to thank you, George.
Yeah, of course.
And I hope tomorrow is a sunny day. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, I'm hoping for it. I'm looking forward to a Sunday, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are. I'll probably watch the last 15 minutes. That's
so you're in New York. You voting for the Giants or what?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Of course, yeah.
And
right.
I remember the Patriots is an old rival team, but I'm not a Patriot fan, but I'm definitely a Giants fan. I'm a Jet fan too.
It's go Giants here too.
There you go. If nothing else, it's a lot of fun, but I've seen them all, so I'm really fortunate.
My son is a Giant fan, so I have to go along with him. He likes the Giants.
There you go.
Yeah, because it's kind of...
I hope people enjoy themselves and enjoy the day.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Just enjoy the fun of it, you know.
Get too serious. Don't bet a lot and lose a lot of money.
And 24 guys beating the hell out of each other. You know,
and just be glad it's not you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. And we'll talk again real soon then, George.
Okay, then. Look at folks. Have a good week or two, and God be with you, and I'll be in touch.
Okay, right, you too, George.
Good night.
And good night, folks, and thanks for listening.
Yeah. Okay.